If you have your Bibles, want to turn to the book of Acts, I'm going to do something a little bit different than what I normally would do. We're going to skip around a good bit this morning because we're going to cover a little bit more of a topic this morning than just one solid passage. And we'll need to be able to flip back and forth as we do that. But we'll start in Acts chapter 2. Will be the first verse that I'll reference this morning, so you can head that direction. We are very glad to be your missionaries. We have been your missionary now for 23 years. We are very grateful for this church. We have always appreciated this church and have always figured it a large privilege to be able to come back and be able to report here and tell you the good things that God is doing. During the message, I'm going to give a lot of reports from what's going on the field as way of illustration to the points before us in the Word. But what I hope you see is it's not about Matt and Barb. Matt and Barb are pretty ordinary people who are starting to feel their age. Matt and Barb are just fortunate to be sent by you and a number of other churches, two-thirds of which are Northern California here, to serve in the wonderful place of Australia. And we are so grateful for that opportunity. So grateful. We have been serving there for around 20 years now. And we look forward to staying there until we retire, if the Lord allows us to do that. If he wants to come back, that's okay too. We'll take that. But this morning we want to look at the book of Acts and we want to look at the name. The name and the use of the phrase, the name, throughout the book of Acts a little bit. We can't cover all of them. There's over 20 of them throughout the book of Acts, but we'll cover several of them in a topical kind of way. Before I get there, let's take the time to pray though, shall we? God, we love you. And we are so grateful that you have done a work in our lives. Lord, for some that just might be bringing them here this morning. For others, that might be years of molding us and shaping us and forming us into the image of Christ. We are grateful that you have given us your word that we can depend on. And we can turn to time and time again to get to know you more, to get to understand you more, to focus our life on the things that are important to you. And so, Lord, as we come to your word this morning, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be changed for having been here together, that we would be excited about who you are as God and how you are involved in each of our lives, in the lives of people halfway around the world. Thank you for our time together. Lord, speak through me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. What is in a name? I know Shakespeare first said that line. What's in a name? A rose by any other name would smell so sweet. But if you're not much for Shakespeare, think of it this way. A name can bring good things to mind. And a name can be bringing our mind full of bad thoughts. Let's put it on a country level. If I say the name of a country like North Korea, that brings some things to mind, doesn't it? Characteristics and some tough times and hard places. If I say a name like Australia, many people think, oh, yeah, I'd like to visit there. I'd love to visit there. And you might think of nice sunny beaches, or maybe you think of opals, you know, a precious stone. Maybe you think of the huge amounts of gold that we still harvest over 30 tons of gold a month in Australia. I don't know what it is that you think of. Maybe you think of the koalas and kangaroos and, you know, all of the fun little animals. Well, the name that you're thinking of, really, when I say that name, you're thinking of the characteristics of that country. Same is true of a person. If I say a very negative name like Nero or Hitler, you think of negative thoughts and withdrawal. And yet, in the New Testament times, we see here, especially in the book of Acts, the apostles were developing what we call the theology of Christology. Okay, so they're trying to get people to understand who Jesus Christ was and understand the blessings and benefits of getting to know the person of Jesus Christ. And so as we see throughout the book of Acts, we see reference continually to the name. You can go back into the Old Testament and see the same thing referring to God. I've been reading lately in my devotions in Isaiah, and Isaiah has quite a bit about the name of God. Well, what I want to focus on this morning, though, as I give a little bit of a report, is that as Christians, we promote the importance of the name of Jesus Christ. As Christians, we promote the importance of the name of Jesus Christ. I see that in several areas. The first one is salvation in the name. Salvation in the name. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And it came to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this is a reference back to the Old Testament. But go with me over to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. People living during the book of Acts needed to understand that there was nothing more important than the character of Jesus Christ, the finished work of Jesus Christ, what He did. And so when I say salvation in the name, that's exactly what I mean this morning. There is salvation because of the character of Jesus Christ, who He was and what He accomplished. I don't know each of you in the room this morning, and so it would be remiss of me not to say here that this verse is absolutely true. There is no salvation in anyone else or any other way except through Jesus Christ. He Himself said that He was the way, the truth, and the life. He followed that up by saying, no one gets to the Father, which the Father is in heaven. No one gets to the Father except through Me, He said. A little bit exclusive, yes. But He knew what He was talking about, because He had been there. And He came to earth, lived the life as an example for us, and I am so grateful He did that. He lived a holy and perfect life, and then He was willing to suffer and die for my sin because I have done things that have offended God. He didn't just die for my sin. He rose from the dead to prove that it works. Not too long from now, we're going to be celebrating Easter. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the proof that God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for my sins, for your sins. Salvation in the name is so important. This is the primary reason Barb and I serve with the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. ABWE, Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. If people ask me what it is about my job that I appreciate most, I always tell them it's the evangelism. I appreciate the evangelism. I'm a handyman. I enjoy doing the handyman things because I like to be able to get to the end of the day and say I accomplished something. Okay, I painted that wall. I fixed that cupboard. I did. But there's nothing more exciting to me than evangelism, being able to tell people about Jesus Christ and that there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. As I think of the different opportunities we have, we mentioned in the video, FOCUS, Fellowship of Overseas Christian University Students. on the university right near us, there are 8,000 students from overseas, most of which are coming from closed countries where they can't openly talk about the gospel. And as we have the opportunity to interact with them on the campus, many of them say, yeah, while I'm here, I need to check out what Christianity is all about because I really don't know. Well, yeah, you should. Come on to our Focus Bible studies, and that's what we do, is we talk about what Christianity is about. Last year, Focus started with around 100 people each Thursday night gathering together simply to learn what Christianity was about. Now, if you love evangelism, being in a room with 100 people and only about 5 of them are Christians and all the rest of them are there to find out what Christianity is about, that's an exciting place to be. And to be able to share over and over again with them in simple English that salvation is through the name of Jesus Christ. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. If you have been following us fairly closely over the years, you know that I have also been involved in the Olympic outreach and what we call sports impact outreach, where we have been producing some little tracks. This one is for the Soccer World Cup, a little track that we wrote about soccer and explaining the gospel as well. The next Soccer World Cup starts, anybody know? June. Starts in June. And it is, anybody know where? Brazil, South America, yes. And in the Olympic outreach, we had the opportunity to be in London. And London, they said, was a big Olympics. We had probably 1.8 million people at the London Olympics. And we were able to hand out an awful lot of tracks and talk with a lot of people about Christ. But a typical Soccer World Cup has 3.8 million. You know, over twice as many people at it as the Olympics does. And as I go there and I simply talk with people, I like the Soccer World Cup better. Not because I like soccer. I don't know how to play soccer. But because people go and they're going to go to one event a day. And all the rest of the day, they have absolutely nothing to do except find somebody to talk with or visit the parks. Or, you know, in South Africa, they went to the game reserves and some of those kind of things. But they're sitting around with nothing to do. So you come up, and if you have a track in their language, they're very eager to get it. In South Africa, in 2 weeks, I personally handed out 9,500 of these. I only found one on the ground. One. And people took them and were eager for them. And it's simply a very basic presentation, easy to understand, about the gospel through the name of Jesus Christ. Illustrated with soccer, because that's what they're all there for and all thinking about. You know? For the Olympics, we use one based on the Olympics. I got to get a bunch of these printed because we're going to be going, I'm going to be going, probably taking off June 20 for Brazil, and we'll stay down there through the 1st of July working with some other ABWE missionaries. The other ABWE missionaries are coming from the field with somebody who wants to be a missionary someday, and wants some international training, opportunity to get some experience in an international setting. So ABWE missionaries are using the World Cup as a chance to take somebody and say, well, come, let's go together to this event. You'll be able to share the gospel in, let's see, if you go back to the 06, that was in Germany. I shared the gospel right around 11 times per day. In South Africa, it was lower, probably only about 7 times per day. We'll see what God gives us as far as an opportunity in Brazil, but a lot of opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because there is salvation in no other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. One of our biggest parts of what we do in Australia is be involved in evangelism. Yes, at the Soccer World Cups, which doesn't affect us in the local, but yes, in the local as well, through Focus, through reaching out. We talked in the video about things that we do in town and just get into the opportunity where we're able to invite people either onto our property or we're going out of our property into the things in the community where we can talk with people about their need for Jesus Christ. So important. There is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. I hope that that's something this church regularly does. If I had any way possible, I'd try to get myself invited to that big the wild game night, because that sounds so good to me. And what a perfect opportunity to invite some unsaved people. Who's not going to want to come and eat? Yeah, the only problem is I'm supposed to be someplace else later that evening. It's not that far away, but I couldn't make it. Let's go on and look at another one, shall we? Quickly, this morning, going back to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." If we were to flip over a little bit later, Acts chapter 8, verse 12. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. "Therefore, brethren..." Whoops, that's not the right one. I know the verse that I'm trying to do. I've got it memorized. It's the one where Philip looked at the ones who believed as he preached and said to them, as he preached concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, that both men and women were baptized. 8:12. Okay, must be I wasn't looking at chapter 8. All right. Go over to chapter 19. There's another one over in chapter 19, verse 5. Chapter 19, verse 5. So it goes from the beginning of the book way onto the back. "But when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Salvation is not the end. As much as I love evangelism, and I would easily spend a third of my time in evangelism because I enjoy evangelism, salvation isn't the end. Jesus said to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything. So, especially when you have somebody coming from a country like Iran, they have not had much opportunity to understand who God is and what God is like. They need not only to be saved, they need to make the decision to come stand as a Christian, be baptized, and then grow. We shared in the video a little bit about two young Iranian men who, one of them was standing out in front of our church. We changed our church name because Berean in Australia is the name of a large cult, one of these exclusive that destroys families, shreds families, and does a lot of other bad things. And so we needed, the church had the name long before the cult did, but the cult's grown large and it's well known. Everybody thought we were part of that cult. So we changed the name, and when we changed the name, we chose Living Hope Baptist Church off of the verse in 1 Peter 1:3. Where he's begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we chose Living Hope for a name. There's this young man out there reading the sign. I can tell that he is from the Middle East because he's reading it Hope Living. Hope Living. He wanted hope while he's living. Not for later. I need hope while I'm living. And I talked with him for a while. I invited him in, and we talked for 45 minutes. And it was all so new to him. He says, I need to think about it a little bit. And I said, good, do think about it. But no, you can't put this off forever. You need to make a decision. You follow Christ or you don't follow Christ. It's no place in between. He says, yeah, let me think about it. I'll try to get back with you later. 2 days later, I get this email, and he says, I want to come, but I want to bring a friend because I want to talk about it more. And I'm thinking, oh man, Muslim wants to bring a friend. Am I going to get beat up? what do I do here? How do I protect myself in this? I invited along to come late a friend of mine that is a chaplain on the university campus specifically for Muslims. And just thinking, well, best to have a little bit of protection there. But on Sunday afternoon, a Sunday we won't soon forget because, that was quite the day. All kinds of stuff happened before then that would distract us. Does definitely distract me. We can talk about it later. But these two young graduate students come to the church. We spend 2.5 hours talking about why Jesus Christ is so important and salvation is only through Jesus Christ. At the end of all that, I said to them, well, that's clearly what the Bible says. You've heard other things all your life. You have the choice. You can believe the Bible or you can believe all the other stuff. But you've told me you don't like the way your religious books treat women. You don't like the way your religious books give you no hope. You don't like the way your religious books have left you so empty. In Christianity, there is fullness of life. In Christianity, there is hope. In Christianity, there is right treatment of one another in right, authentic relationships. Both of them prayed to receive Christ that day. The reason this doesn't fit in that category, though, is because these are two Iranians. Within a month, they had read the New Testament through 3 times, and they said, well, you know, it looks to me like we ought to be baptized. Yes. you should be. And so the church couldn't remember the last time somebody was baptized. And in Australia, the proper thing to do is to give a certificate of baptism when somebody is baptized. And so we couldn't even find any of those. So I developed something on the computer, and we purposely developed it for them to be able to leave their names off, so that when they go home to their country, it doesn't cause them a lot of problems. They can have this piece of paper, but it doesn't have their name on it. Well, we went to the beach side, and they were baptized in it. If you looked at the pictures, it's a pool right at the beach, right there in the rocks, okay? But they shared their testimony really loud, so everybody in the park, it was a beautiful day, everybody in the park heard it. They shared their testimony loud and clear. We went down into the water and they were baptized. One of them tried to drown me, but it was amazing, and the church was so excited about it. Within about a week, they came back to me and said, baptism is about identifying with Christ. The certificates don't identify us as being baptized. Can those be redone so our name is on it? Now, I will tell you, one of those gentlemen is having to seek asylum in Australia. He cannot go back. He is in serious trouble for accepting Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He knows he will be arrested if he tries to go home. Bad news. Very bad news. He's trying very hard to be able to stay in Australia now because, man, is he grown. He is so excited about telling people what Jesus Christ can do for your life. There is salvation in no other name. He knows it. He gets it. And he wants to share that. The other one is trying to go back. He has already once slipped into Iraq, just kind of under the radar and did that. But his dad teaches at the university, and the major university in the nation's capital. And the way things are done in that country, he would inherit his dad's teaching position as head of mathematics in the university. And so he says most Iranian university students hate Islam. Maybe I could go back and I could help some become Christians. So we do pray that God would do a wonderful thing through all of that. He wants to identify as a Christian. He understands that's what baptism is all about. It's not keeping it secret. It's doing the appropriate thing. There's salvation in the name. There's baptism in the name. There is, number three, there is power in the name. There is power in the name. Let's go back to Acts chapter 3. Told you we were going to run back and forth through this book. Acts chapter 3. Verse 6. We'll start there and then we'll skip past a bunch of this story for time's sake. This is Peter talking, and he says, "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" Jump down to verse 16. "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him his perfect soundness in the presence of you all." It was not Peter who was powerful. It was the name of Jesus Christ. I am not engaged in a healing, physical healing ministry of lame people in Australia. But let me tell you, I am involved in a ministry of healing broken lives, crushed souls, people who have had their spirit smashed and stomped on by so many others. Yes, the congregation is small, but I've had to deal with families that have been ripped apart. We had a major accomplishment not too long ago. One of the original five that were in our church actually had a child come to church, a grown adult child. It was a major accomplishment for us. The church had so destroyed the families in the past. People of the church had so destroyed the families in the past. But what we're seeing here is not the name as magic words. We're seeing the name as an understanding of the character of who Jesus Christ is. In early December, we started our Christmas Bible study in midweek Bible study, just looking at who Jesus Christ was and what we can learn about Him from the names given to Him or the characteristics given to Him in the Bible. And even in that time in December in our study together, I saw major changes in our people. Because everybody quickly comes out with, well, He is love. Yes, He is. He is peace. Yes. He's the wonderful counselor. He's the mighty God. Yes. We all know those names, right? We're excited about those names. And then I said, He is the man of sorrows. You know anybody who's sorrowing this week? Jesus is the man of sorrows. He is acquainted with grief. You know anybody who's had some grief recently? He is, according to Isaiah 53, it says in there twice, the man who was oppressed. You know anybody who's oppressed? He is the man who was tempted in every single point like we are, yet without sin. Do you know anybody who's facing some temptation? Somebody who's struggling in life because the temptations just seem too strong? He was the man literally beaten. Not because he did anything wrong. Because I did something wrong. You know anybody who's facing some injustice? He's the man who was hated by religious leaders. So much hated, they did everything to kill him. And it worked. This is the Jesus I'm talking about. Now, we all love to hear about the Jesus who makes our life wonderful and brings us joy, don't we? And we appreciate that inside these four walls. The people in our community so often are people who need to hear that He understands sorrow. He gets it when we're facing grief and oppression. He knew what it was like to be awake all night long praying to the Father. You know anybody who's got some sleepless nights? These are the things that bring power in the name to heal lives. In Isaiah 53, it says, "By His stripes we are healed." That's what it's talking about. Seeing that healing that lies within the name. We've had people that have gone through bankruptcy who just need to be healed a little bit emotionally. We've had people who have been quite crushed by society, even by other churches, who need to be healed, who need to understand that Jesus isn't just all about the exciting times. Because there's power. Power in the name of Jesus Christ. Can I give one other aspect of power in the name? That one is a deep one. And I hope that one gives you some excitement and some challenge to be able to share Jesus more this week. But if we went to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, there's a couple verses there. Starting in verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him, him here is talking about the Apostle Paul, brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord, he still is Paul, he had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke, he again, still as Paul, he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists. But they attempted to kill him. There is power in the name for boldness. You want to know how to pray for us? I can't remember which number it is on the sheet. Number 5, I think, on the prayer sheet. Please, pray for boldness. There is power in the name for boldness. But Paul, and most people don't think of Paul as timid. Paul needed that boldness that was in the name of Jesus Christ. I need that boldness that is in the name of Jesus Christ to share what it is that God has called us to do. What it is that God has laid on my heart. I need that boldness. Now, we've not ever faced the situations where because we are trying to share Jesus Christ there in Australia, the people have tried to kill us. Oh, we've had a lot of negative things said about us. We've had people try to start rumors, which the Lord has been able to shut down. We've had people try to do other things, you know. But Paul went all the way to people willing to kill them for it. That takes some stepping out at times. And he did it in the name. I don't think too many of us are going to face death threats. I mean, even here in Weaverville, we're not going to face death threats. There are times when we have in the ministry. I can think of when I was at the last World Cup in South Africa. There were times when I definitely feared. God, what are you doing in this one? And yet God had gone before, and God worked it all out. Just like He did for the Apostle Paul. Because this isn't the end of the Apostle Paul, is it? And in many ways, this is the very beginning in Acts chapter 9. And most of the rest of the book of Acts is about Paul going out and boldly declaring the name. There is power for boldness in the name. We need to be telling people about Jesus Christ. We need to be telling people that there is salvation in the name. And they need that salvation. We need to be telling many people who have walked away from the Lord that there is healing in the name. Emotionally, socially, spiritually especially. But we've got to do that with boldness. We're your missionaries in Australia. At present, we are involved in a church restoration work where we're restarting a church that had fallen apart. Building almost this size, maybe a little bit narrower, and yet it had fallen apart. We didn't want to see it just become another restaurant, another theater or something like that. We didn't want to see it pulled down and apartments go up there. We went there because we believed that God had a great work ahead of us in that place. We're excited to say that last year, in Focus, we know of at least 47 people who came to faith in Jesus Christ through that one ministry alone. They're not all part of our church. Part of the problem with reaching out to people from closed countries is some of those closed countries are paying students to spy on other students, and they give them a bonus every time they turn in another name of a student who's looking at Christianity too much. They give them a financial bonus. So we've got people who are in Bible studies on the edge and what have you. And some of them just need to get that boldness to be baptized, to start identifying with the church. They want to go home, so they're wondering how much of that they can do. But we need the boldness to help them, to understand them, and to know what God is going to do in the days ahead. We do look forward to going back. This year, it'll probably be much of the whole calendar year with the number of churches that we need to get around and speak to. We'll be here, but next year we want to be back in Australia. If I had my choice, I'd get there by my birthday, which is December 10, okay? I'd rather have my birthday in Australia, a nice warm beach location, than here, thanks. And then we're back at the ministry, loving what the Lord has called us to. We are excited to be your missionaries in Australia. Very excited. Not because it's easy, because I do need the boldness. We do need the boldness. But because it's what God wants us to do. Thank you for allowing us this opportunity. I hope this morning that as we've looked at some of this scripture together, you've been able to see that every Christian must promote the importance of the name. It's not just for us as your missionaries. I hope you've been able to hear some of these things and think, yeah, that could happen here too. I know people who need to know the name of Jesus that way too. It's obvious that telling people how they can be saved must be done in the name of Jesus. We've got to do it that way. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, please talk with Pastor or myself, or talk with somebody about it, okay? Afterwards, it's not going to be a scary thing. It's a good thing. Not only do we get greatly encouraged, you'll find new peace in life as well. Maybe you know people who need to be baptized and make that commitment. Maybe it's you that you need to talk to Pastor about. Maybe it's the power for boldness to be able to declare God for who He is, declare Jesus for who He is, to help people through some of the things that life has tossed at them. Maybe it's that boldness to serve God. Man, we need more people to come to Australia. And you know, Mel was down there just last year, so you can't look at me and say, I'm too old. Oh, Mel is a wonderful friend, so I'm sure he won't slap me up for saying that later. We have more jobs down there, physical jobs that could be done. Some of them aren't very taxing. If you're an engineer, building structural engineer, I could use talking to you too. I got some big things that need to be done. But you know, if that's what God wants you to do, He'll give you the power. He'll supply what you need to be able to do it. We need to raise a good bit of support to be able to get back to Australia. We've had four of our churches, four good supporting churches, close in the last 4 years. We've had some individuals who supported us out of their own funds who have passed on and are now home in glory. And we're quite short financially. God knows. God can take care of it. And we trust that He will. You know, in all of this, there's one more verse I want to read. Acts chapter 19. The end of verse 17. Acts chapter 19, the end of verse 17 says, fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was magnified. I don't want anybody in this room to be afraid of me, but I do want the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be magnified. If declaring the word of the Lord to you this morning has magnified God, which I believe it does every single time, praise God. If it has brought fear, praise God. Because there is salvation in the name. We baptize in the name. There is power in the name. Lord, we thank You for our time together this morning. We're thankful that You are God and there is no other. We're grateful that You have given us the opportunity to be connected with this church for 23 years. We're grateful, Lord, for their continuous gracious support. We're grateful, God, for their prayers, their encouragement. Lord, this has been a wonderful church. We're so grateful for them. But Lord, may it not just be what the missionaries do. Lord, I pray that they would go forward with power from Your name to continue to impact the people of Trinity County in this area. Family, friends, people that You just might have them bump into for Your glory, that You, Lord, might be magnified. This is our prayer. In Christ's name, amen.